Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 41, The Throne and Its Bearer. When he received Surtsquot's report, Tirado immediately sent out orders that the elements of harmony be gathered together. He wasn't that confident of their effectiveness as of now, especially with what he had seen of Applejack earlier, but he and his sisters had to push through with their plans. Preparations had already been done. A necromantic ritual was enough to cleanse the place of all the ghosts that had anchored themselves to the crystal grave. He had to give some credit to Captain Shining Armor for holding that spell for a long time. Then he and Luna inscribed all the necessary magical sigils around the crystal grave their elder sister supervised. Adjuration was one of Celestia's specialties. It was only when she was completely satisfied with their array did they continue. Celestia's examinations also revealed a few more things. The seal around the crystal grave were obviously Lexarius's. He had discovered this during his reign and had promptly hidden it away. The crystal grave itself did not belong to their predecessor, nor did it appear as the work of any pony in the Eternal Herd. No, this crystal was a construct of Oceanus himself. It was built not just to keep outside forces from getting to Regia Carnifex, it was also built to keep him inside. Tirado didn't know why Oceanus would outright imprison his lieutenant, but he was more determined now to find out. His next step was looking better. And that next step was right now. Tirado walked through one more tunnel before he stood within Crystal Grave's chamber. His sisters were already waiting for him. Luna tapped impatiently against the gleaming gemstone floor while Celestia stared at the imprisoned alicorn. Their inscriptions were already glowing and humming with magic. All they needed now was the actual spell. For what could very well be the hundredth time the consequences of the situation ran through his mind. He imagined having to fight an enraged, newly freed alicorn across the skies above Canterlot. How much destruction would ensue? Before it would even get to that, they would have to deal with Regia Carnifex here. He glanced toward Celestia. His sister possessed no magic should the imprisoned alicorn go berserk. Would he be able to protect her should any fight take place?
You mean like how you defended her from Black Rose?
Tirado's own inner challenge was full of scorn. He shut his eyes tightly for a second as if doing so could silence the doubts.
Like how you'll defend her from Gravitas, from Oceanus, and from any other danger that's bound to come?
Are you ready, big brother?
At the sound of Luna's voice, Tirado ignored the stinging questions. He took his spot directly opposite her, with a massive crystal between them. He had no answer to himself. None that didn't sound like hollow boasting. All he could do was to keep moving forward until those troubles arrived, then show what he could do.
No, I'm just standing around here wasting your time, he snarled. Of course I'm ready. Let's begin.
He cursed inwardly when his little sister answered with an even more concerned look.
All right, Luna replied.
She intoned the beginning of the abjuration magic, while the inscribed spells around her glowed even brighter. Tirado followed his younger sister's lead. The room shimmered with alicorn magic. A faint humming began to emanate from the crystal. To their side, Celestia walked closer to get a better view. The light intensified and the humming grew into an oppressive buzz. A drop of sweat trickled down the side of his face. Finally, they reached the end of the ritual. The humming stopped and the light faded. The crystal was still there, its hundreds of facets held not too much as a single scratch. Tirado tried to get a feel of how the magic held itself together. He looked to his sisters to see if they found something he didn't.
We've done it, Celestia said.
Tirado heard a faint note of relief in her voice. Hopefully, they had just proved that his and Luna's magic could dent Oceanus's if they had to. If Celestia were to recover, all three of them might just match the firstborn. The relief didn't last long. The sort of groan one would make upon waking up came from the crystal grave. He fell into a fighting stance.
Celestia was confident that they had succeeded, but they were faced with Oceanus II. Past the crystal, Luna was also ready for a fight. No great explosion or a fearsome neigh came despite their fears. Instead, they heard another groan, with one shorter and more annoyed. Regia Carnifex, Celestia said. Can you hear us? Another minute passed before an answer emerged from the crystal grave.
Etiam ut Ios, a voice rumbled from the crystal. It sounded like ancient trees straining against a strong wind. Luna frowned and cast a translation spell over all of them.
That's my name too. Celestia raised an eyebrow. Your name too? She asked.
Both Tirado and Luna walked to her side.
Pardon, the voice said. I had gotten so used to being called Starswirl. It took a while to remember that I am Regia Carnifex after all.
Tirado let himself smile a little. Looks like I got it right, he said.
But who am I speaking to? Regia Carnifex asked. I can barely see through this blasted prison and I do not recognize your voices. I am Princess Celestia of Equestria, Celestia replied. With me are my siblings, Prince Tirado and Princess Luna.
Celestia, Regia Carnifex said.
Princess Celestia, oh, yes, I remember now. You are that little pink-maned filly who kept making off with Oceanus' special pastries.
That was...
Celestia stopped, resuming only when she had restored some dignity in her tone.
That was a long, long time ago, Regia Carnifex, she said. We've woken you up for present matters.
Of course you have, Regia Carnifex replied. I'm not going anywhere, am I? So, ask your questions. None of the siblings replied right away. Now that they had Regia Carnifex's attention, the swarm of possible questions made it difficult to pick the first.
Tell us about the foul weapon, Celestia said. What is it? What does it do? How is it activated and used?
It's not for you, Regia Carnifex replied. That's what it is, Princess Celestia. If this is some foolish attempt to follow in the hoofsteps of the pony you all but worshipped before, then give up.
Luna stomped a hoof.
As if Big Sister would even consider such a thing, she said. All we want is enough information to make sure that no pony gets to use the foul weapon, including Oceanus himself.
Such a noble goal, Regia Carnifex replied. Oceanus said noble things too. He may have even meant them at some point. The foul weapon doesn't care. Let no pony ever use it again.
You're sounding more and more as if you oppose Oceanus, Regia Carnifex, Tirado said. What's going on here?
You should know, given that you've been prodding my cage, Regia Carnifex said. After the fall and the creation of the mortals, I started to disagree with Oceanus over how he treated his new children. Regia Carnifex chuckled. I knew that he wouldn't take my defiance well, so I had a failsafe ready before confronting him. A created mortal body to retreat into.
And that was how you became Starswell the Bearded, Celestia said.
Yes, Regia Carnifex replied. It was a wonderful time being mortal. I would prefer to be Starswirl even if I did had to abandon most of my magical power. These mortals, they are such an interesting lot, aren't they?
Yet they were the ones that brought your downfall, weren't they?
Tirado asked.
Your student discovered your actual body, but she poisoned you before you could do anything.
For minutes, silence reigned over the crystal grave's chamber. Just as when it seemed Regia Carnifex had fallen asleep, his voice emerged from the crystal grave again.
Clover, it's coming back now. All that disappointment. Tell me, Your Highness, what happened to Clover the Clever?
She left me stuck in my mortal body when she went off to try and salvage something from her everlasting kingdom. Lexarius caught and destroyed her, Celestia said. Stupid filly. Right to the end, she was desperately scrambling for her precious deep father. The tone Regia Carnifex used was all too familiar. Regret, disappointment, even a measure of self-loathing. Old aches welled up inside Tirado. He wanted to cut through all the rambling, get what they needed. Carnifex, there are others on Clover's path, Celestia said. There is a mortal trying to acquire the foul weapon. This is why we need your help.
I suppose I should be shocked, Regia Carnifex said. Yet it's to be expected, isn't it? When these mortals hear Oceanus's call, they all madly dash towards his abyss. I have tried to stop them to no avail. The taint they carry leads them to their fall in the end.
Luna's face twisted as she looked down on her chest. Tirado opened his mouth to say something, but his older sister beat him to it. No. Celestia's voice resounded within the chamber. She spoke so vehemently that Tirado didn't dare add anything. Regia Carnifex didn't respond either. I don't believe it, Celestia continued. Not for even a second. Her voice softened. Oceanus did grow wicked, but it was by his choice, not out of any inevitability. His children have that same choice. Celestia suddenly looked towards Tirado and smiled. Even when thrown into the worst of situations, they can still choose harmony over their deep father. I am not giving up on these mortals.
You've come a long way from stealing cakes, Princess Celestia, Regia Carnifex said. Perhaps the succession is in safe hoofs with you.
Celestia pressed her lips together and looked down on her hoofs. I am not worthy of the throne, she said softly. Father will have to look to some pony else.
You must be, Regia Carnifex said, for you plan to oppose the firstborn in this world, and he has found a throne for himself.
What?
Luna and Tirado exclaimed at the same time. You've convinced me, at least a bit, Regia Carnifex said. If nothing else, let me tell you what it is. The foul weapon is a throne.
That makes no sense, Celestia shook her head. The Eternal Herd only has one throne and our father and mother are sharing it. There is no other throne.
I'm sure that Oceanus thought the same thing when he first found out, Regia Carnifex said. But there is another throne, Highness, and the firstborn draws from it. Did you think he would dare challenge your father with anything less? You said when he first found out, Tirado said. That means Oceanus didn't create this thing. Where did it come from?
That is a mystery even to me, Regia Carnifex replied.
Oceanus might know, although I'm sure he won't share. I can tell you that it is an old, old thing, older than Sanctus Dominus and Divinia Gratia's circle, likely older than the cycles before that.
He paused again.
Through all that time, no pony has ever been able to draw from it. Only Oceanus. Then Black Rose will fail, Tirado said, mostly to himself. The throne will allow only one pony to draw from it, and that pony is Oceanus.
The throne can accommodate two more, Luna said. A mate picked by the one it has chosen and an heir from the two. That's how it was always been in the Eternal Herd.
And how is that pertinent to the situation? Tirado asked.
A snap and a glare followed the tail end of that question despite his efforts to control himself.
The only way Black Rose would be able to draw from Oceanus' throne is if she married him, or turned out to be his...
Tirado stopped.
Wayward children of Oceanus, he whispered harshly.
It's only in the broadest sense, Celestia said. But we shouldn't ignore the possibility, no matter how tenuous the link.
He should still have to choose her,
Tirado said.
She doesn't even know it's a throne. I must agree with Princess Celestia, Regia Carnifex went on. The likelihood of this black rose even catching Oceanus's attention is minuscule. But would you risk even a minuscule chance when dealing with a firstborn and his throne?
That gambler,
was all Tirado could think. He tried to turn his thoughts away to calm himself down. After all that had happened, even with the theft of Celestia's power, Black Rose was his beloved and his student. He didn't want the miserable firstborn to take that away. He tried to console himself with how unlikely the odds were. It didn't help. Not when he was dealing with a mare who seemed able to bend luck itself to her favor. She might just catch Oceanus's attention. King knows she caught his. The thought made him sick.
Big brother, Luna said.
She was about to reach a hoof towards him when Celestia spoke.
Let us assume that she can find a way to draw from the throne, Celestia said. Black Rose still needs to get to it. Luxarius and the other stewards have sealed the thing up so that even my stolen power can't break into it. Assuming that you're not going to help her, how else could Black Rose get to the foul weapon?
It almost sounded as if Regia Carnifex snorted.
I would certainly refuse if she was actually polite enough to ask first, unlike my faithful student and her friends. I am trapped in this crystal, Your Highness. Black Rose only needs to steal me away and she can use me as she pleased. She can't if you're dead, Tirado said.
Tirado, this is no time for your morbid jokes, Celestia said.
It's not a joke, Regia Carnifex said. He's right. If I'm slain in my Alicorn body, no pony will be able to use me.
I will not murder any pony as a precaution, Celestia said. Not anymore.
Nobler and nobler, Regia Carnifex said. But I've been in this world for too long, Princess Celestia. I've seen plenty of it as Star's world to be satisfied. Killing me would be a boon. I would be able to return to the Eternal Herd and face judgment for my part in all of this. Who knows, I might even be allowed to rejoin it.
At that, Celestia actually looked like she might relent, but it was Luna who spoke first.
You're lying, Luna said. You've been tainted by the power of Oceanus. If you are slain here, you go to where he resides, to be tormented forever at his whim for your part in helping us.
She put a hoof against her chest and stared at it grimly.
Like me.
I would thank you for sparing my life, Highnesses, Regia Carnifex said. But your problem remains the same. Let me make another suggestion.
And what's that? Celestia asked.
Release me, Regia Carnifex said. Clover and Platinum have siphoned nearly all of my magic for their rituals in the Everlasting Kingdom. I may be about as useful as an obsolete book on all things about the age I lived in, but I want to do something against Oceanus. All three siblings looked to each other quietly.
Tirado frowned and shook his head. There was a lack of power coming from Regia Carnifex, who sounded sincere enough, but he wasn't just going to release a prisoner so soon. Though Luna seemed a bit hesitant, he could tell that she did agree with him.
Let us think about it first. We will speak some more later, Regia Carnifex.
Celestia motioned to her siblings and walked away from the crystal grave. Tirado and Luna followed suit. It was only when the three of them had reached the Chamber of Elements did Celestia speak.
Where does all this find us now? She asked.
If Black Rose is relying on Regia Carnifex, she would have come to us, Tirado said. She must have an alternative.
What other magic can match such a powerful seal from the Eternal Herd? Celestia asked.
The Elements of Harmony, Luna replied. She held her gaze steady when both her siblings looked at her.
Think about it, she's been dead set on trying to break or strengthen them with her agents. I think the Elements could do it.
Black Rose would have to get them to use it according to her purposes, Tirado said, and lead them to the Blasphemous Rift before that. What could she possibly do to...
All three of them halted when the resonance of an ominous and familiar presence made itself known. Celestia's face twisted from shock to sheer outrage. Luna and Tirado could only look to her grimly.
"Gravitas," she said. "How dare he?"
"Where is he?" Luna asked.
"And who's with him?"
Tirado tried to pinpoint the presence. Gravitas had chosen to enter this world, but not to meet Celestia. Otherwise, he would have come to Canterlot. He had also tried to enter it as secretly as possible. The magic they sensed wasn't a gate opening, but Gravitas' power already being unleashed. His eyes widened as he followed that power's trail.
"Sky Mirror Lake," he said.
"There are two others with him," Celestia said. "He must mean to secure the Blasphemous Rift."
"Too fast," Tirado muttered. "He didn't even bother scouting out this world before coming personally. What could have provoked him to rush his arrival here?"
A series of urgent knocks cut Tirado's musings short.
"Enter,"
he said. A pair of special operations ponies entered and knelt.
"Highness," one of them said, "we've received reports from the ponies observing the changelings at Sky Mirror Lake."
"What is it?"
Tirado asked. He already feared the worst.
"Several explosions were just seen coming from Sky Mirror Lake. We believe that the changelings are under attack."
"We have to stop him," Celestia said. "He's attacking the changelings without so much as a provocation." "It's General Gravitas and likely two of his best soldiers," Luna said. "Big Sister, without your power, it would be 2 against 3.
Tirado snorted.
"Unless we bring the elements of harmony to bear," he said. "Which would be the bringing Twilight Sparkle and her friends to Sky Mirror Lake, as Black Rose would want them to be."
Celestia shook her head.
"The elements are not ready. Whether it's going to be the Blasphemous Rift or against Gravitas."
"Then keep them here until they are," Tirado said. "I will go to Sky Mirror Lake to try and negotiate with Gravitas. I'll bide for time, maybe even convince him to back off."
"He's a brute," Celestia said. "He could just overpower you and lock you away before making his way here." "I'll go with you, big brother," Luna said.
"No," Tirado said. "This is Black Rose's ploy. If we both go, she'll come here and take Regia Carnifex away. She's probably the one who convinced Gravitas to come to the Blasphemous Rift."
"Devious," Luna said. "But this is likely her last ploy. If we defend against this, Big Sister can recover her power."
"Then let's defend well," Tirado replied. "I'm leaving this front to you, Luna."
"Take care of yourself, Tirado," Celestia said. "If you fall, Equestria will follow."
"No pony's going to fall," Tirado replied. "Especially not me."
He left the Chamber of Elements and was about to take flight when a hoof touched his side.
"You need something else, little sister?" he asked.
"Promise me that you'll return, big brother," Luna said softly. "When it becomes clear that you're in danger, run. Don't try to put up a last stand. Leave the changelings behind if you must, but run."
Tirado felt an urge to shake off the worry, make some small joke, then fly off. Instead, he turned around and put a hoof on his sister's shoulder.
"I'll run," he said. "And Luna?"
"Yes?"
"I..."
Tirado hesitated. This sounded like the sort of thing a soldier would say to his loved ones before putting his life on the line again. He didn't want to invoke this ominous atmosphere, but he wanted to say this anyway.
"You know, I gave up on you back then. I didn't think you stood a chance against Nightmare Moon. If Celestia had agreed with what I had set out to do, you'd be with Oceanus right now."
"I know that," Luna said. "You don't need to apologize."
"It's not an apology I want to make," Tirado said. "I just want you to know that I plan on giving Oceanus nothing. Not his children, not Regia Carnifex, and especially not you."
"Thank you, big brother," Luna said. "I'll hold you to that."
"Count on it."
Tirado stretched his wings and flew.
Okay, in this chapter we learn who Starswall the Bearded in this
alternative universe actually was. He was mortal body of Regia Carnifex, the immortal Alicorn, who was second to Oceanus, the rebellious firstborn. Pretty interesting, because Regia Carnifex rebelled against the king with Oceanus, but later opposed Oceanus's handling of the mortal ponies, and therefore got imprisoned by Oceanus. Tirado is not willing to hand anything to Oceanus. He would actually fight him one-on-one if he had to. And what we see here at the end is that he is, how to put this? The bonds between Luna and Tirado are definitely mending. I mean, what do you think? They are definitely closer than at the beginning of Breaking Point, where he told her, wait one second. I think he said something like, oh, the last time I saw you, I tried to crush your head into the bloody dirt or something like that. And he even said to Celestia when he told her that he wanted to talk to Luna, and she berated him for that. He said, didn't you fill in that crater I left the last time? Yes, I think their bonds are definitely mending, and at least Luna wants to be near her brother. I think Tirado is still a little hesitant here because of the whole Nightmare Moon thing. But we also see here now that since Luna was tainted by Oceanus' influence through Nightmare Moon, she wouldn't be sent to the Eternal Herd if she was to be slain. She would go to where Oceanus is. This is kind of like in the Bible, the whole thing, a fallen angel wouldn't go to heaven if slain, but to hell. The whole thing with Firstborn and Oceanus is kind of reminding me of God and Lucifer. Okay, what do you think about this chapter? What did I miss any points? Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.